The Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah chapter 51, beginning with the first verse. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. For the Lord confronts Zion, he confronts all her waste places, and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation, for a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for the light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens vanish like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle comes from Romans chapter 11, beginning with the 33rd verse. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, through many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And he strictly charged his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. Made a mistake this past week. I paid attention to the news. And no matter what I would see or hear on the news this coming week, it seems like everything is sort of crumbling around us, or at least maybe I was in a dark mood as I listened to the news. That's what I felt, that everything was crumbling around us. I was reminded of the old 60s song, Eve of Destruction. Now, you can probably picture that in your heads now, can't you? But why are so many lives ruined? Why are so many nations seeming to be facing tragedy? Just a tragedy that took place was in England. A man was arrested for praying within 2 blocks of an abortion clinic. 2 blocks away. They have a 5-block protection zone where nobody can protest, and praying silently to yourself is seen as an act of intimidation. To me, that's a tragedy that the world is facing. But the answer to the world's problems is found in the Word of God. The problem with the world is they don't want to hear the truth. They'd rather believe in the lies and deceptions of Satan. Isaiah 28:16 says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation of stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believes shall not make haste." Too many people in this world do not build their house on a solid foundation. The Lord God of heaven has determined what a sound foundation is. It must be solid, it must be unshakable, it must be perfect and without flaw. That foundation has to be tried, tested, and proven sure. That foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. St. Peter's confession, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The foundation is Jesus Christ and his death, his burial in a borrowed tomb, his resurrection from the dead, and his ascension into heaven, where he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, proving that he is a sure foundation. Matthew 16:16-18 says, "And Simon Peter answered, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Just as Peter confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, we too confess the same thing. It's only when we're inspired by the Holy Spirit that we can believe in Christ. Sorry, our Baptist brothers got it wrong. I don't decide to follow Christ. Christ calls me as he called you, and it was probably through the waters of holy baptism. But that's a topic for another day. But the idea that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, is the beginning of all true wisdom. Jesus told Peter that the realization of who Jesus really is could only come from the revelation to our heart that comes from our Father in heaven through the Holy Spirit. Jesus says that the only foundation is acknowledging him as Lord and Savior. The only foundation that can stand up to any storm of life is Jesus Christ. Matthew 7:24-27 says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." We've all seen pictures of the Leaning Tower of Pisa over in Italy. It's a 179-foot tower that each year moves 1/20th of an inch. And I love how scientists try to predict when it'll get tilted enough where it'll finally collapse. My luck, I'd get over there and see it, and the day before I get to see it, it would collapse on the buildings around it, but that's beside the point. 810-year-old tower. The word Pisa means marshy land. They built this tower upon marshy land, and the first clue that they should have realized that they're going to have problems with this building, it only has a 10-foot foundation. 179-foot tower with a 10-foot foundation underneath the ground is not enough to hold anything up. Whether you have Jesus as your foundation of your life, we can be assured that we're still going to have the storms of life come. Because Jesus says in Matthew 5:45, "And he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust." Storms of life are going to hit anyway. You know how easy it would be to make new Christians if we could promise them that as soon as you become a Christian, your life will go perfect, all your relationships will be fine, and nothing will ever go wrong with work or family or society around you. How easy it would be to make Christians then. But God does not want followers who follow him just because of the blessings he offers. He wants us to live for him because of who he is. Commitment based on good times alone is no commitment at all. You know, in the wedding vows that we have in church, we have a picture, the perfect picture of Christ and his bride, the church. We say in those vows, which, by the way, I really dislike when people want to write their own vows, just a pet peeve of mine. I kind of like the idea of tradition, but that's me. But anyways, we vow in the wedding vows that we'll stay together for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, and remain faithful to our chosen spouse for life until death separates us. But with the bride of Christ, there is no death. There is no death in heaven. Our foundation is set on Christ when the storms of life hit. We're cemented in the place by the Holy Spirit. Now, when a building is built, it's natural to try to build it upon solid rock, but a mixture of stone and cement is used to keep the base from slipping. Like if you try to pile up a pile of rocks, you can only build it so high before it starts to crumble. But if you pour cement over it, now it becomes rock solid and becomes very hard to pull apart. The cement that holds us together to Christ is the love of God. One of the greatest promises in the Bible is from John 10. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Jesus promised Peter that the church he was establishing, the gates of hell, would not prevail against it. Nothing can remove us from the hand of God. So we don't have to worry about Satan stealing our faith or accidentally falling away. Now, we can leave the true foundation, but the Holy Spirit gives us every opportunity and warning to re-cement ourselves to the true foundation. The gates of hell, the expression, it means all the works and powers of the invisible world. In ancient times, the gates of a city were the strongest areas built into the city walls because of how much business and legal work took place there. The gates were a big deal. They weren't just two doors that opened up. These were massive gate structures. Excuse me. And what Christ is saying, that massive structure, nothing that Satan can throw at it can possibly break through. No plot, strategy, or strength can destroy the sacred truth of Peter's confession. But man loves to build on sand and soil. We love to do things in darkness because we believe it hides us from anybody knowing it. But the light reveals everything at once. What are some of the foundations that we build upon? Worldly pleasure. We're only looking at a season, but then we can have a lifetime of sin, guilt, and shame. Another one is wealth and prosperity. Where's your foundation when the stock market crashes or inflation hits? I love all the commercials on the radio for buy gold, your hedge against inflation, your hedge against the stock market. Now, I'm not giving any financial advice at all, but that's fleeting as well. It's all fleeting except for building the foundation on Christ himself. You know, I've never seen anybody buried with all their possessions. But once I actually did see a U-Haul in a cemetery. The guy had his casket delivered to the cemetery in the back of a U-Haul truck. Because you always hear the expression, you never see a U-Haul truck at a cemetery. So this guy is, for his last big joke in life, decided to be delivered to a cemetery in the back of a U-Haul. You gotta love it. But I've never seen people buried with all their possessions. So why build a foundation upon that? Or they build their foundation upon people or relationships. Well, people are fickle and relationships are fragile. Some people build their foundation upon the church. But if the church doesn't have the foundation of Christ, that church will crumble too. You can't put your or build your foundation upon the preacher because we're sinful human beings like everyone else. And an openly sinful preacher can actually push people away from God. We should never place a man, no matter who he may be, whether pope or a pauper, upon a pedestal and then base our lives upon their teaching or preaching, because no one's infallible except for Christ. Some will build their foundation upon the military strength. We have the most powerful military in the world, we hear all the time, but every military can be defeated. And I can give you countless of historical examples where little David slew big Goliath. So when people put their faith in the military, it's another fleeting foundation. Peter warns us about another false foundation, that being false doctrine. Give diligence, he writes, to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never fail. In Philippians 2:12, Paul writes, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Be careful what you're being taught. Always question anything that I have to say from the pulpit to make sure that's in accordance with God's word. Because false doctrine, as I said earlier, can pull people from Christ. And we do read in the book of Revelation that before he comes a second time, there's going to be a lot of false teaching, a lot of false doctrine, and a lot of persecution. But he promises he will come before the church is overwhelmed. Be sure of one foundation. The foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. Base your life, your eternity, upon faith and trust in the blood of the Lamb. That's the only way to salvation. That's the only way to win in the end. There's a radio commercial I've heard for Cable Lock Foundation Repair Company. They promise that they'll dig down in your foundation and put beams into 90 feet in the ground with steel cables to prop up your foundation so that it'll never fall. Now, it sounds, maybe I'm just pessimistic lately, but I look at that and go, that too will fail in time. Do anybody really think that's going to be around in 100 years before the steel rusts out and the cables rust out and snap? So my question is, where have you built your foundation? May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.